Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake. We've had a little hiatus. We haven't had a show for about a month. Did you know that? Which is really only
it
one show. We
saw it's missed mostly my cycle. Fault for traveling and being sick, basically.
Yeah being sick.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it's not nice to cough in everybody's ears.
No, and so we decided to
realize my laptop isn't plugged in.
So my partner is already under the desk, and I will leave that with you, that visual image. So we hadn't had a show. We missed one show. So my partner and I have actually not been in the studio together for just over a month, but we are back together here, yeah. And as is the way. We're going to devote this whole episode to the electric guitar.
Well, guitar.
Guitar. Yeah. And what will bring it about, and again, you will now, as you hear me explain what's bringing this topic about, you'll go, yeah, it's really not a big deal that they weren't in the studio for a month. Because I ran across an old article that we found about a year ago.
That's right.
That was in the Washington Post, and you'd send it to me, and I remember reading it and saying to you, well, this is going to be a good topic, but, you know, we need some time to actually... You know, research and all this type of thing, and then we never got around to it.
Yeah, right. So my big thing is I kept putting it off because I really wanted to have a lot of content in the guitar playing realm, and we do have some content.
I really wanted to
be prepared. I mean, and I listen to enough music that I should know this stuff really well. A year later, and I'm not really that prepared. I took a bunch of notes somewhere, which I've now lost, which was all about the history, so we'll be faking our way through this.
Anyway, the article was in, as if we don't fake it any other week.
Right.
The article was in the Washington Post, and it was called Why My Guitar Gently Weeps, and it was basically, it was subtitled The Slow Secret Death of the Six-String Electric, and Why You Should Care. So the article was about 20 pages, very long article by Jeff Edgers, E-D-G-E-R-S. And of course, we will stick the article in the link to the show so you can read it yourself. Yeah. And he goes all the way
in. Side note about the article format. So this is one of these articles. The Post has, from time to time, runs things in a very electronic forward format. Like, I think there was probably a version of this that was in their magazine or style section.
Okay.
But the way they put it up on the website is not like a typical white page with the type on it kind of thing. It's this graphics heavy, you know, like different parts scroll around differently. It's interspersed with bits of clips of video and right. the like, which makes it near impossible to freaking get it out of a printer cleanly. And
yes.
the computer is like struggling with running this thing. I mean, I imagine they run some stats and talk about these articles. Okay, what is this? You know, how do people view it? It doesn't have any advertising. Like, so a lot of articles will normally have like a ton of advertising on the banners, but the article itself, when you go on the website, doesn't have that. It just has a picture of guitars in the background.
Yeah, I mean, when you actually pull up the article, there are like, as my partner said, there are like six different sort of video clips to play if you so choose. If you really want to go in, as any good internet article is, there are links everywhere.
Right.
And to be fair, it was a very good piece of journalism and storytelling, and if you really wanted to click on everything and read everything, to be fair, you've probably got to clear about 2.5 hours of your day, because
right.
you know, you sort of feel like you need to run down every video and all that type of thing. The gist of the article was that the two biggest companies, Gibson and Fender, and anyone who's into rock music, you'll probably have seen those names on an amplifier, or right. you've heard someone talk about it. They are in debt. A third, PRS Guitars, has had to cut staff. And then the largest chain retailer, and depending where you live, you sometimes see these stores. I, in fact, have been in them. One's called Guitar Center. It faces $1.6 billion of debt. Guitar Center is, you'll find it in like strip malls. It's got a big red banner and, you know, it says Guitar Center with an outline of an electric guitar. And you go in there, and if you're a musician or a DJ or anyone who's sort of heavily into the electronics of it, that's the place to go to get your cables and your leads and your microphone stands and guitars and all this type of thing. So anyway, it was a very interesting article. And one of the gists of the article was that the electric guitar was dying because there seemed to be a dearth of guitar heroes, or guitar heroes are not what they were 20, 30, 40 years ago, meaning that the current generation of folk that buy and consume music, I think that's a fair way to put it, they weren't as in awe of certain guitar heroes as perhaps we were 20 years, 30 years, 40 years ago, definitely in sort of the early days of rock and roll. So we're talking about the late 50s and everything from Elvis Presley and Bill Haley, and definitely through the 60s with, you know, the likes of Jimi Hendrix and bands such as Led Zeppelin and the Beatles. You know, people could name the guitarists. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas nowadays, there is a school of thought that says that the guitarist has been relegated, is the wrong word, but he is as much now part of the backup band rather than the lead attraction. And I think that was sort of part of the, at least from people within the industry, that was part of the sort of the case they were making to place the blame on the decline of their industry in just terms of moving product. And it was interesting, there was another article that I will put into the post when this show comes out, that sort of, I'd read it and sent it to you because it had harkened back to this article. The Guardian had, and I don't have that article in front of me, but like I say, it will appear on the blog. The article, the Guardian newspaper written an article.
Half of beginner guitarists in US and UK are female, survey says.
Which I just thought was interesting. And I don't mean that in any kind of sort of, you know, you run the danger now when you're talking to an open mic that you might run down some alleyway that you don't want to run down and say things about yourself that you don't mean to say. I just found that interesting. Do you know what I mean? Because, to be fair, in terms of the names I've just thrown out at you in the last couple of minutes, you know, the image of the long-haired guy thrashing the guitar, well, it was always a guy. So I thought it was interesting that now it seems that it's a majority of, you know, young women that are picking up the electric guitar. So I just thought these two things sort of came together and put us in a place where we could talk about, you know, do an excuse for a little bit of music.
So now you've blown through the two articles in the first 5 minutes of our podcast. What are we supposed to do the rest of the time?
I'm setting it up. We're going to play music
and talk
about
it. We could have been talking about the stuff that was in the articles.
Well, we are.
What are you, setting up?
Well, can I start while you get some music ready then? To just talk about, because I think, you know, I did a bit of research. And
Listen, you posited like three theses in the opening 5 minutes that we haven't even discussed here. Like,
well, I'm actually going to start by letting our listeners know, well, you know, about the electric guitar itself.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, you know, because I've never been a musician.
Yeah.
Right. I tried to play the piano when I was a kid. Stuck at it for a couple of years. Didn't have the discipline to practice. So, you know, I can't play the piano. So I went online and I thought, okay, well, I'd sort of originally taken this position that the industry has fallen on hard times. So then I went online and tried to figure out, well, why is that? And basically, any time an industry is in trouble that's making things and selling things, a lot of it comes down to cost. You know, I found that if you wanted to get into playing the electric guitar, if you and I decided, let's learn to play the electric guitar, we could drop anything from a couple of $100 to a couple of $1,000.
Yeah.
And I just found that it's a relatively expensive entryway to a hobby.
$200, nothing.
No, but you're getting a couple hundred dollars or something crappy, aren't you? I mean, I would imagine most people are gonna, you know, you're gonna buy a nice, it's red and white or whatever it may be. I mean, that's part of the attraction of the electric guitar, is you're picking up something that looks cool and shaped funky and all this type of thing. And I just found it interesting that, like, wow, it's a lot more expensive than taking up racquetball.
It's probably not. It's probably, you know, for racquetball, you'd have to join some club somewhere. Your racket's probably cost between $100 and thousands of dollars for that stuff. I think, listen, you know, the whole point, it does have to have a reasonable point of entry. I mean, I think the real hurdle for people playing guitar in the modern era is that you actually have to learn how to play guitar.
Okay.
Like, so, you know, I don't buy this whole, like, I mean, I get the fact that it's selling less, right? But the notion that this is somehow a death of a guitar, it's just because there's 1,800 different options to do things, and you can, you know, with your computer like we've got here, record in your basement, and you don't really need a guitar. You could either be doing stuff with mixes, or you can do something simpler, you can do something electronic, you got all kinds of other options. None of that says that, like, it's going to go away, but it's got more competitors. You know, like, if I can make music on my computer, or I can do it with a keyboard and a computer and things like that, I never bother picking up the guitar and have to learn how to make chords and work the fingers and do this stuff. It's a lot of work to figure out how to do that stuff. easier on electronic, mind you, than the acoustic, because the electronic has a shorter throw to the frets. The frets are the things up on the neck, that the bars that hold the strings against it.
Oh, big, listen to the, this, yeah.
Like in an acoustic guitar, like I was going to go back all the way back to, you know, the guitar.
Well, let's go there. Let's talk about the guitar.
Okay, I'm not very well organized, but the...
You've had a whole month where you haven't done a show. Come on, I don't want to hear you're not organized.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm telling you, I didn't do anything during that month. But there's like a whole series of stringed instruments and hollow-bodied stringed instruments that go back to lutes and all
lutes,
that
sort
of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but the classical guitar, I think, is a relatively recent, you know, in the grand history of musical instruments. But then again, that's probably the same for most musical instruments. You know, before you had the piano itself, you know, versus harpsichords and piano. What the original name of piano was a pianoforte, which was a mixture of these different sort of tunes.
Well, But I do think there is something to your statement there. I mean, if you think of things like, you know, obviously the organ has been around for many, many years. Any kind of brass instrument, the flute, clarinet, you know, these sort of things have been around for centuries. And yet the guitar, at least in something vaguely is the wrong word, resembling its modern form, is not more than, a couple of hundred years old?
Well, yeah, that's right. I think in the
classic electric guitar is 50 years.
So, like,
60
just to give
years.
You an example of like it's it backdrop. You know, we have the English word guitar. Great, computers can do something else now. English word guitar, you know, comes from, well, it's related to German guitare, the French guitar, G-U-I-T-A-R-E, all adapted from a Spanish guitarra, which comes from an Andalusian Arabic name called. I think it's kithara, and then the Latin of C-I-T-H-A-R-I, which comes from the ancient Greek, which also looks like it's kithara, which comes from Persian sitar, which you can think of, you know, a sitar is probably coming out of the same thing. So if you just look at the words going back to this many years, the word tar at the end of all these is a Persian derived word that means string.
Okay.
So all these things are something string, you know. So we, by 1200, we had a couple of instruments that were called guitars in Spain. There's a Latin guitar and a Moorish guitar. Neither one, which was really quite, you know, what we know now. Trying to find the ultimate date of when we get to the classic guitar, which is what we would call this basically, although there's, you know, variations of jazz guitars and the like. Can't find it. Didn't your other article talk about when the electric guitar got invented? Don't you have those facts for us?
I do not have those facts. I need to look for them right now.
But, you know, it is a thread of running through music, and the fact that it runs through all the different types of music. Obviously, we didn't have rock and roll in 1200, and yet this instrument has made its way. It's unlike horns or clarinets or reed instruments or you know, other things like that, where hey, here there's a commonality to the fact that it's in music all the time that makes it timeless, and it can be adapted to all these other uses. So you know when you go to electric and the like, so that's why I think
but I think it is fair to say that in the ears of the general public, guitar has been, it was thrust off on its own trajectory thanks to rock music. Do you know what I mean? You know, again, yes, the guitar in its very classical form has been around for a while, but, you know, if you go back and look at, you know, and again, I'm now making sweeping statements here just sort of prove a point. You know, when you look at some of the great classical musics, the classical musical pieces, there are actually quite few that are written specifically for the guitar. And so what happened with rock and roll was because it was a sort of, I don't want to say the learning curve was less, but people could pick it up and really sort of create something quite, you know, with some heft. That's why it was co-opted along with drums to be rock and roll.
And also in Back to the Future.
Yeah. I mean, who are we listening to right here?
Chuck Berry, Johnny Berry.
Down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named
Johnny. So, you know, looking back at the history thing, basically it looks like in the early 30s is when you got your first technology parts of guitar, and probably was used in a way of just amplifying it a bit. You have the way those work, by the way, like a guitar, it's an acoustic guitar, is got a body, you've got a string that's resonating over an open space, and the pieces of wood that are in there resonate. Yeah. You have to build it the right way. But electric is really, there's a magnetic coils and a little panel, and so that's why you have steel strings on electric guitar. You couldn't use nylon strings, it wouldn't trigger anything. It's a magnetic field that the strings are vibrating across, and then it picks it up and turns into electronic signals.
There's another version that is
not as popular, that is essentially the same as like touch screens, like they're capacitive type of thing.
Okay.
It basically senses the electromagnetism in the air in a different way.
So I want to make a very rapid critical comment now. We're listening there to Chuck Berry.
I'm waiting for the solo to come in there. I like this. We still have piano as an equal height.
That's
even
true.
Though it's considered a rock classic.
But here's my point now about the guitar. That song was probably, and again, you know, this is pre the 60s. I think Johnny B. Goode is, what, 59, 60, yeah. Something like that. It's right in there. It was probably a couple of guitars, a pianist, and a drummer. And it's still produced, along with the vocalist, it still produced this quite sort of deep, resonant sound.
Well, it's a little jangly and ringy. It doesn't
Sure, but the point I was going to make is, in comparison to, say, the violin, in order to produce the same sort of throaty, full-on girth of noise, you probably need about 14 violinists up on stage. Do you know what I mean?
Like a
single violinist doesn't produce the same sort of, again, sort of breadth and depth of sort of noise and tone.
Put an electronic pickup on it, it might work.
Sure, but of course that's never really, you know, picked up in the way that the electric guitar sort of co-opted that. So that's what I'm saying is that, the electric guitar, again, became sort of the foundation of modern popular music because of that ability that it could sound so much more the sum of its parts.
Well, yeah, and I think it's the flexibility. And, you know, one of the articles talks about the fact that by putting this electric pickups and having the lower fretboard height where you could play the strings better, you could do things with it you
right.
can't really do, like, I don't just mean electronic things, but literally the way you can play the notes. And, you know, they talk about hammering. I think I've got a little bit of a sampling of hammering. Let's see, I can't remember if this has got hammering in it, but we'll find out in a second. Hammering being like stringing the strings, but you're like pressing them against, and then like sort of tapping them up against there with your left hand if you're right handed.
Who is this?
Danielle.
Okay.
Mean Street. There were jumping errors here.
And that's one, but my point is that's one instrument.
Right. Yeah, more classic right. thing with that opening.
And so that's my point. In terms of becoming the staple for rock music, one instrument and your amp and your guitar and your leads could produce that sort of fully throated, it sounds like a big deal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like I say, I think that's what sort of moved the electric guitar immediately into the rock era, so that, you know, individual artists or small groups of, you know, garage bands of two or three dudes could get together and produce as much noise as, you know, 18 people in an orchestra. And I think that was why... Do you know what I mean? And like I say, it is, you just talked about hammering. It's a multifaceted instrument that people can really sort of, I'm trying to think of the right words. It's a very practical instrument in that you can make it do things. It's not just, whereas a classical guitar, you are strumming it and you are plucking it. But to your point, with an electric guitar, you're doing all kinds of other things to the strings, to the pickup, to all that kind of stuff, to create this big sound.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I think is notable about it, people have talked about before, is that it is, in a sense, within the vocal range of human beings. Like, so obviously it's a very wide range from its deepest notes to its highest notes, but it is in a net, so is the violin for that matter, although it's on the higher end of things, but it's in a vocal range so that it's familiar to a human ear, whereas like a bass guitar is a part of a rhythm section because its low beat to it is not really a natural voice.
Right.
Whereas the guitar is itself a voice, so that like you could have things. In fact, I think this is a perfect example. Another, here's a 65 thing where I believe this is an instrumental.
Is this Link Wray?
It is Link
Wray. Ooh, I got that, yeah.
Rum Rumble 65, which, by the way, this song, like, when you try to find Rumble, there are, like, at least 15 different versions of Rumble by Link Wray. Like, I don't mean just, like, other people. Like, he did it again in the 70s, yeah, and, like, none of them are the same. And this is the one I think is the closest to what we tend to think of the version of it. But, like, this is why you could have, like nobody's going to sit around and listen to a bass instrumental, or, you know, like, for 3 minutes, whereas you can have this because it's playing the role of the voice in a lot of, right, you know, like... Things of things.
So my partner actually put together a Spotify playlist
called that.
Guitar, and we will share that, G as in G-E-E, with, in his opinion, some of the great guitar cuts.
Parts.
Yeah,
parts.
Yeah. Like, so, that's the interesting thing about...
So here's the big thing, and I'm going to align somewhat with what you were talking about. Right. I am not much on the guitar solo, per se. I mean, right, I'm about the guitar sound and the people who could do something different and sound like that. So, like, Eddie Van Halen is the closest it comes to me being like, oh, I'll just listen to it. That's not true, actually. I got a couple others here, but, like, you know, Jimi Hendrix and things
Hendrix,
like that.
But they're
more notable to me for the sound they created, where each one of the, anybody who could come up with a sound that, like, okay, I have not heard that before, or it sounds unique, and you wouldn't say it's just a guitar, like, right, a rhythm guitar just playing in the background.
And I think that's the interesting thing here, and
like, this is definitely like a skilled and nuanced kind of solo. It's not a super fast solo, but a, you know, like an intro to things where, but it's the coolest thing about it is it just has a tone of resonance that you're like immediately in Tetris.
Yeah,
either that or Steve Ray Vaughan later on. Those chords to that, like, part there where he's playing multiple strings at the same time and he's getting the bend out of everything is the more interesting part.
To your point there about the electric guitar and its relationship with the guitar, the standard acoustic guitar, when you listen to Hendrix, you can tell that he learned to play an acoustic guitar first. I would think, when I listen to that cut of music, most people do. But what I'm saying is, and to get back to the article's original point that the electric guitar and the Guitar Hero was dying, I don't doubt for a moment that Hendrix learned the electric guitar what I would perceive as the traditional way. He learned to play a regular guitar, and then he went to the electric one. And so when you hear stuff like that, I can imagine that. I can imagine him playing a version of that. He is skilled enough to grab an acoustic guitar and do a version of that where you go, oh, I recognize that song. Whereas I kind of believe a little bit nowadays that anyone picking it up, there are as many people who are picking up the electric guitar for the first time, and it is the very first guitar they're picking up, rather than, say, 50 years ago, when I would assert that all these people learned playing acoustic guitars first.
That's probably true. You know the biggest unique thing about Jimi Hendrix and playing guitar, right? He's left-handed and he played a right-handed guitar, so everything was backwards.
Oh, wow. Whereas McCartney always played the other way. Like, he did it the other way and strung it the other way. He was one of those.
This is just like he took it instead of having the usually the lower notes or the tops. Do I have that backwards? I don't know. I never play guitar, so I had a guitar. My grandfather had a guitar that was around the house, an acoustic, and I brought that in. We ended up in our house, and I was trying to learn how to do it, but I realized that the neck was bent, and so now the strings were even higher.
Oh,
and
wow.
As a kid, it was like near impossible for me to figure out how to get these strings down without making a mess of it. I tell you, I have multiple friends who have, like, taken up guitar now. I mean, it's a major, like, midlife crisis type of thing. Like,
the electric guitar?
Well,
guitar in general.
Like, just learning to play guitar at age 40-something, you know. We actually just went to see recently. We're down in Charlottesville for reunions, and one of my old buddies is still playing in a band now. He's a doctor. The band is mostly made of dentists called Lockjaw. And
oh,
he's playing
yeah.
at a local club, and so we went and saw the band, and they're playing, you know, rock covers, and it was Yeah. And I remember he started doing some singing when we were in school, but he wasn't really playing much guitar. Like he was just starting, but now plays like lead guitar in this band. So
I want to give a shout out to people playing in their basement. Next week, I'm actually having dinner with a gentleman who has his own similarly set up band. He himself is a doctor. They're called Basement Riot.
All right.
And they play.
They play in basements, apparently.
Well, they do, yeah. And they've actually played in some clubs and stuff. And, you know, they basically, I mean, they're all middle aged, so they're just sort of playing whenever. yeah, I mean, there is a part of me. If you said to me now, what would you. I'm going to take out my magic wand and make you a musician. I would find it very hard to actually decide. Zeph, I'm going to make you a musician. Pick your instrument right now. There is a part of me, considering the kind of music I grew up on, and again, you know, we've had this discussion many times. I'm as much a mod as anything else, with a little bit of punk thrown in and a little bit of ska thrown in. Yeah, I would.
I don't have any Pete Townsend on the list. I apologize.
Well, because I want to circle back to someone like Pete Townsend, and I name dropped McCartney a little while ago, and I'm going to come back around to that. If you said to me, Zeph, you know, I'm going to make you. You know, superly skilled on the electric guitar or the bass guitar. I'll
play a different British person just to kind of cover it.
But there's a part of me that actually would say, actually, no, make me a drummer. See, I don't know who this is. You're going to tell me I'm going to go, okay.
It's Clapton, Cream.
Oh, it is? Oh, there you go, you see? Because I'm not one of those guys.
Of course, Crossroads is a cover. I'm like it's a riff, like the riffs and tones of guitars I find more interesting.
You see, well, so again, I didn't know who that was. And I know that's a reflection of me, but if you told me who Paul McCartney is or who Pete Townsend were, I'd go, yeah, I know those guys. But I wouldn't imagine. But here's the interesting thing. You mention Eric Clapton's name to me, mm-hmm. and I think of someone who's a guitarist. If you mention Paul McCartney's name to me, I'm like, no, he's a songwriter and a musician. If you mention Pete Townsend to me, I go, yeah, he's the same thing, but, you know, he could play a mean bass guitar. But I'm not sitting here going, these dudes, I identify them as maestros of the strings. Whereas if you just said to me Clapton, I'm like, oh, Clapton. And in my mind, I'm already attributing to him, fair or foul, a certain heft and skill set.
So I figured I'd back to back my Eric Clapton. This is really technically Derek and the Dominoes, though.
Oh, that's right, which is what he was before, yeah. And of course, you know, Layla and all that everyone goes, oh, I've heard that.
I can't remember. I think Bell Bottom Blues is the song that's about George Harrison's wife.
No, really?
Because they had a little crossover thing.
What does that mean?
He was in love with George Harrison's wife.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh. I always liked this song. I don't know if it has a solo in it. As long as we're sticking old British, I'll stick with them. Or I couldn't fit. I mean, just like you could really do like an endless number of songs from like Keith Richards.
Keith Richards,
you know, like,
yeah.
Like you could. There's too many different things. And this one I picked really because it has just that guitar loop to it, like you sort of.
I'm positioning myself based very much on the thrust of the original article that we're talking about, that basically the guitar hero is dying. And there aren't idols of the studio and stage that people identify as such. And it is interesting right here, sitting here right now, maybe as a music fan and consumer, if the gist of the article that the guitar hero is dying, then people like me are responsible. Because I don't think of Keith Richards is a talented guitarist, but I immediately in my mind see him, I identify him as more than just that. So therefore, his wonderful ability with the guitar, it's interesting. Like Clapton and Hendrix, I think of them as guitarists. That's mm-hmm. what these dudes are.
And you don't think of Keith Richards that way?
No, I just think he's a guitarist. Like, he plays the guitar, but he's this more sort of generic musician. Okay. In the same way that, you know, if you say, you know, just stay within the Stones. Oh, Mick Jagger. I don't think of him as an accomplished musician. I just sort of think of him as this sort of rock star persona who does the singing and writing. And I know he could probably, I mean, you know, Lennon could play things, but I don't think of John Lennon as those things. And this is the interesting thing now, is that, and I'm now going to try and tie my position to what you said earlier at the start of the show about how it is easier for kids or any of us to make music without using those specific instruments. Do you know what I mean?
You could say basically that the loss of the guitar hero is the loss of a rock band hero. I mean, name the last rock band that everybody's like, oh, I'm into that kind of thing. And there's certainly things that do well, but who's packing arenas as a guitar? John Mayer, I guess, is a guitar player who people would consider a guitar hero type of guy. I should have put some, I don't have any John Mayer on here, but I mean, he's a recognized, accomplished guitarist who everybody who sort of hears him do other things that are more interesting and bluesy things are like, the cheesy stuff that he did or still does occasionally is like a real counterbalance to that, but that's what fills your arena, I guess. He's not going to fill the arena. You know, he's been touring with the Grateful Dead band now for like a couple of years and playing all their kind of stuff, so...
Are you ready to talk about the movie from the last decade?
Yeah, well,
right
in
now?
Fact, I was going to say
I'm going to set you up with that.
I'm going to play you a bit of somebody who is potentially a modern guitar hero, but then again, we're 40 present. We're indeterminate middle age.
Indeterminate middle age,
right?
Yes.
The question isn't who we like. The question is what is an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old like? And I don't know if the 18-year-olds or 16-year-olds are listening to this, but I hope so. White Stripes, it's not Raconteurs or whatever 18 other bands he's in, but it's Lazaretto, which rather than you could do Seven Nation Army, which everybody plays at the stadiums now,
right?
Which and that stuff too.
And here's the interesting thing, because of the success of that song and many of his others that are brilliant,
this actually is solo, gonna kind of keep it in the
I think there's a whole lot of people who don't now it's interesting. Someone with me, I'd like to think, you know, I can think a little bit. I'm quite cultured. I appreciate Jack White, the musician.
Yeah.
But I guarantee there's a whole lot of 25-year-olds who just, because of how they've heard Jack White. So we're now talking about, you know, whatever that other song is that's played in all the stadiums.
Seven Nation Army.
They don't think of him as a guitar hero.
I don't know about that. Might become a solo or something. I mean, like, if you're into the guitar, you like, but it's almost like which comes first.
Right, okay, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Like, you might, like, if you picked up the guitar, then you'd be following this stuff, but...
Lazaretto, that song is what, 2008, 2009?
I can't tell.
And yet, in a strange way, you know, you could take that 25-second riff
right.
and cut it into any song from 1964 onwards, and it fits.
See,
you know what I mean?
That's the great thing about it. Before, people used to wait for the solo coming around, but really, when it comes to these music now, here's the parts that people, like, the rhythm of it, the boom, 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 and, like, that's what Seven Nation Army is, just, you know, like this heavy... That noise they did with keyboards or it's a guitar running through a sequence.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's one of my favorite workout songs. It's a very good one if you're like, you know, trying to get cranked up, lifting some weights. Lazaretto is a good choice. So put that on your mixtape there. So you were starting to allude to, and I just threw it in there because it would be a nice lead in, was the movie This Might Get Loud. This Might Get Loud?
It Might Get Loud.
It Might Get Loud.
Which came out in 2009.
Yeah, it was just, it's him. The Edge from U2
and Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. And the three of them just talking about their life with music and how they got into guitar and doing these things. And there's a scene with Jack White where he literally takes a 2x4. Did you see the movie?
I've not seen it in its entirety, no. Right, and it's one of my great regrets. That I remember watching the trailers when it came out, so saying, I need to watch. I might get that. Yeah, no, I know. Sure.
He basically takes a pickup off of a guitar, you know, the magnetic pickup, 2x4, nails that on there, nail on one end, nail on the other end, string, pulls it across there, and makes music with it. Like one string, just bending around on a board with the electric, because you don't need to have a body for a guitar. I mean, that's why electric guitars can look crazy, because they're irrelevant. The body of it is irrelevant other than the thing to hold.
Yeah.
You know, it's the neck down to where the strings are, and the string vibration is just going through these little silver pickups at the bottom.
Which is why the likes of Pete Townsend smashed them up.
That's right. Well, they were pretty expensive, though. I imagine he had to wait for a while there before he could do that. Although I really don't know, like, the relative price. We could have checked on that. So, like, I do have a little bit of
I said earlier, talking about, you know, guys. Electric guitars can run anything up to, you know, to drop in 3 grand for the name, top of the line. And I'm not talking about, you know, one of historical value. I'm just talking about getting into it right now. You can be dropping 3 grand for a good electric guitar.
If you say you don't know it, this is...
Of course I know this. I'm trying to make the crack about the... I can't remember the name of the people that they stole it from. Remember how they went to court?
You know, that case got revived.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, like so, like...
We're listening to Stay Away to Heaven, obviously. Yeah, yeah. My partner attempting to catch me out like I'm completely...
Well, you had a blank look on your face. And
no,
so
because
thought,
I was trying to think of the people who claimed that they stole the riff from them.
Of course, being Jimmy Page, for you kids who don't really know who Led Zeppelin is. It's funny, Led Zeppelin is a band that I loved all this Led Zeppelin, but I don't really go back to it. It's almost like because it's too much, like I've heard it so many times, it's not really that much fun to go, oh, I'm going to pull up and listen to 8 minutes of Stairway to Heaven.
No, and it's interesting, I have them, because I still have an iPod, I have all my Led buried in my classic rock playlists.
Yeah.
And I never, occasionally, if I just want to listen to one song, I will search for Led Zeppelin and pull it out that way. But you're right. I have a Beatles playlist of about 20 Beatles songs, but Led gets lost with all the other guys. And maybe that's just how I sort of approach it. But you're right. I mean, and I think part of that too is, you know, they have been the foundation of classic rock stations for 40 years.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, let me go and hunt for something there is that I might not have heard. It's like, funnily enough, I always listen to Kashmir before I listen to this.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
I like.
Yeah,
but then again, it's just personal taste. So.
I just picked this because so many people would like sort of know what it is. You know, like, we would need somebody better. I'm really worried. I have a decent number of music fans who will listen to this, and I'm afraid they're going to catch us out on, like...
Forget that.
Not be able to explain this, but the...
come on down to the studio and catch us out then.
I mean, Jimmy Page would be considered, like,
we've been off
major
for 4 weeks.
Figure.
I'm feeling very feisty
against my
critics.
I don't know whether he is as a musician or the band itself as a turning point in rock. You know?
Ooh, there you go.
Like, it's like, I mean, like, you know, I'm going to segue this into, like, some bands that would be, you know, in some ways, these guys would be considered, not this is the perfect song for, but fathers of heavy metal. I'm not sure his guitar was in and of itself revolutionary. I mean, he's a very good guitarist, but it wasn't like it was so unusual. Like, this isn't that far off of Cream and everything else. But it's a heavier sound overall. Maybe the drums get before.
Well, this is where I'm going to make my... Where I've sort of made... I'm trying to make this general point that, in a strange way, the electric guitar, which was in the 60s and the 70s, the star of the show, well, thanks to Led Zeppelin and that as much drum-driven sound, that, yes... You can make a case that a lot of heavy metal and stuff, you know, obviously they see the seeds of themselves in some of that 70s rock. But the thing about 70s rock and I'm going to point the finger now at you know, the great producer George Martin, who worked with the Beatles and bands
George
like
George R.R. Martin,
yeah,
Game of Thrones,
no, not Game of Thrones, and you know, the likes of, you know, Pete Townshend, but ultimately, you know, Pink Floyd, was the electric guitar, because these musicians found other ways to create sounds electronically. Whether it was through that, what was that famous machine that George Martin used on Sgt. Pepper, where they would pump noises in, and oh, it's got a name, and I've lost it now. And the Beatles used it for that album and whole album after, where, you know, the famous saying was you could never recreate these sounds anyway because it's all gone through the machine and come out the other end. But and Pink Floyd too, they moved rock and roll away from being a purely guitar and drum driven form of music. So by extension, their success was also which also spurred all kinds of imitators and inspired all kinds of people to follow them, also sowed the seeds of the electric guitar's demise as the star of the show. I mean, in a strange way, you can make a case, like the very first thing we played was Chuck Berry and then Link Wray, and right there, and including Hendrix, right there when you listen to those guys, the guitar is the star of the show.
Well, remember, I pointed out right in the middle of that the piano was at the equal height of that stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
That song, so I don't know that that's, I mean, it's certainly true that you had more things that were like a guitar lead in that in-between phase, but people were mixing it all up.
But these guys that, like Zeppelin and Floyd and all these guys, they created this much deeper sound using all kinds of stuff. Like the orchestra reappeared playing with rock bands.
Yeah, but then it
disappeared. Do you know what I mean?
You know, like,
yeah,
it was okay. Like, I'm trying to find my
And remember, Jack White is as much a pianist as he is a guitarist. I mean, and look, all these guys are talented.
Bad names.
All these guys do double duty as musicians. But what I'm saying is, if Jack White played something with just the piano, you would go, yeah, that's brilliant. That's Jack White. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, like I said, I think we because of the ability to make sounds with all kinds of different things, the musician is no longer the guitarist. He's more of a musician.
Right. So you mentioned Pink Floyd. So
yeah.
First time I was ever impressed by, like, you know, when you were a kid and people play that, was we had this talent show thing at the they called it Coffee House in high school.
Okay.
Where people would do bits and stuff.
Slam poetry. Were you a slam poet?
No, me and a buddy did the Great White North.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, first. And anyway. But there were a couple of guys who got up there and did, you know, the two parts of Wish You Were Here.
Yeah.
This sounds a little weird because, of course, they're doing their funny Pink Floyd effects where it's supposed to sound like it's down, but then they'll go to this. But they were doing the two parts there, and I was like, oh, they kind of know what they're doing. Yeah. They're like this kind of, like, high schoolers who could play, like, a cool guitar thing. You know, of course, I mean, we could find, this wouldn't be a song for it, but, you know, a lot of David Gilmour guitar parts have that high, like, sustained, like, single note kind of approach. But, you know, back to the movie, one of the interesting things about the movie was that they had The Edge, and The Edge is 100% about...
The Edge, of course, part of U2, for people who don't know what we're talking about.
Is really about the sound. Like, he's not a guitar virtuoso.
Right.
And he even sort of says as much there. And it was funny, to some extent, like, I felt a little bad for him, because you're dealing with, like, Jack White, who, like, both Jack White and Jimmy Page are better technical guitarists than he is. And he's explaining how, like, oh, I take my guitar, and he has his own, like, inventions of various electronic boxes. And it's not just like a computer. It's like, you know, the various things you would add on to this pedal that I would put here, and I'd add this sound kind of thing. But it's really about, it's a unique sound, even though it's changing it around. But it's not like about, like, big solos. Like this Sunday Bloody Sunday, like there's something in passing for a solo, but it just, it's like, let's see if we get that part. But like, it's really about the jangly sound that he kind of came up with for it. Oh, I can't close my eyes, make it go away. How long must we trying to think. I don't have any of these queued up by like minutes to find the different parts, so I may have to guess a little bit around here.
Well, here's the interesting thing too. I'm gonna proffer a theory of the marketplace that has had an effect on the electric guitar. And you've talked here, you talked about Edge and how he is not the technician the other guys are, and he spends his time in that film, It Might Get Loud, showing what else he can do with it.
Yeah.
And so they've produced this sound, right? But again...
Okay, sorry, this is where I was waiting to come to. Like, this is what passes as an Edge solo.
So,
there you have it. There's the guitar solo, Guitar Hero guitar solo.
Well, but here's the thing. You know, there's that they always joke the video killed the radio star, right? That was the punchline to the 80s song that MTV was founded on, and how, you know, the music video was going to change the marketplace. But in a strange way, it's changed it in ways that I don't think people thought was very clear. You two are a musical experience. With, you know, with Bono and his voice. And what I'm saying is the marketplace now and the way music is delivered now is more technical. It is more, it's got so many more layers to what makes you successful, that if I'm a dude who comes on, you know, America's Got Talent and just blasts away with a guitar, people are sitting back and looking at me going, well, I know plenty of dudes who can do that. What else can you do? And so what I'm saying is Edge may not be the technician that Jack White and Jimmy Page are, just to make that comparison from that film. But in a strange way, what Edge can do is vital to producing the kind of sound and sound experience that people expect from their modern rock experience. In the same way that, remember, in the 80s, it was all synthesizers. And then people would sit back and go, well, what else are you going to do beyond that? And so now, you know, the Moog and all those different things that made music. I mean, again, yeah, people go, yeah, well, Depeche Mode and New Order, and that's great. But then, you know, the sort of the synthesizer that was so huge in the 80s in pop and rock acts, well, that's now just sort of back in the pack again now, because what people want is some overall sound and visual experience. They're not just coming to see a great guitarist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why classical music continues to exist on, oh, so-and-so is, the three tenors are singing, or, you know, such-and-such Rene Fleming is singing, or listen to Yehudi Menuhin. Classical music still owns this place where there is a direct link between the star and what they do. Oh, what Andre Previn, the conductor, and this sort of thing. Whereas rock music... Oh, it's you too. Yeah, I don't know. I've just got this barrage of noise, and I saw their concert, and they had the screens. What, you know, what I'm saying is now that the modern rock marketplace, well, it's just not enough to be a great drummer, or it's just not enough to have a great guitar solo, because the audience are now more sophisticated and more demanding. And so the gist of the original article that we're talking about was, well, yeah, the Guitar Hero didn't go away. He's just sort of been pushed back into his box because the music place demands something else.
All right.
There you go. Ran over. But I'm making my point.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it's, I don't know what the total experience piece of it means. I mean, like,
I don't think people say to me, I want to watch U2 because of the Edge.
No.
They go, I mean,
it's a band.
But that's what I'm saying.
But
is
like, when was that ever the case?
I don't know. I think in the 70s, people had a different appreciation.
Like, different. Here we not go. 70s. Hotel California. Did people go because they were... I don't know. You're going to see a band.
No. I think you're missing my point. You're missing the band because the guitars are great. That's what it was in the 60s and 70s. No, you go and see Clapton because at some moment you know that either during the concert or in the encore, he's going to riff Layla. And you're going to lose your mind because that's exactly what that means. But even starting in the 60s with, you know, with bands like the Kinks and even The Who, Pete Townsend is a great guitarist, but I don't think of him that. I think of him as this stage presence with great vocals and working with Daughtry and throwing a guitar about. There's a different sort of...
Yeah, but I mean, you're making the case that it really isn't a change. I mean, what's the change? Like, say you had a couple more guitar heroes in the 70s, but like, in between, that's kind of a common thread. Bands are bands, and, you know, rock bands got, you know...
Okay, maybe.
Rock bands will come and rock bands will go, but rock and roll is going to live forever.
Isn't that right?
Isn't that a Kinks thing?
It might be.
It's
yeah.
On for the Road live album.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing like a good dual guitar solo here, though.
Which one of them is dead? Is it Glenn Frey or Don Henley? One of them died.
This is Joe Walsh and whoever the other guy is.
But didn't one of the Eagles die the other year?
Could be.
I mean,
I'm not a big Eagles guy.
So, okay.
I only put it in because this. Now, so let's hear it. Look, I got a couple of the threads of like guitardom I want to talk about here. One is metal. And so we talked about, I really should have been better if I'd ordered these, but. We talked about Led Zeppelin, but where is it? Here we go. Because, you know, while metal has solos, the real strength of it isn't the solos. You know, real stuff is like this.
It's six dudes together just sound using it. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, the guitars are a big deal. I mean, but it's this. I mean, it's Tommy Iommi and Black Sabbath. He's like, this is, like, unique. Like, here's something in this. I mean, War Pigs is, I think, an early 70s at the latest kind of thing. And yet it's, you know, it's got its own... He made some stuff come out of there. But it is really much, like, more so than The Edge, where The Edge was the sound blended in here. Like... Yeah, drums here, but plus it's just, you know, you gotta always revisit War Pigs because it's timeless. I mean, like, timeless for like our current political climate.
Yeah.
Generals gathered in their masses.
Of course, his voice is pretty notable, though.
Just like witches at black masses.
I like the little bit where he does a little trill coming up.
Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death construction. In the fields of bodies burning.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I was waiting for. And then as long as, you know, we're going to go through the British continuum of metal. I mean, this is one, like, when we were in high school and we're listening to a lot of me, you know, like, pretending to be the guitar. I mean, this is classic air guitar.
Yeah.
And this is a multiple guitar situation as well. But it's not really metal. So there are solos in this too, but that's
metal though, isn't it? It's three dudes just doing it in tandem, making this big noise, shaking their heads around. But... dying in a pool of their own vomit. I mean,
you'll take my life, but I'll take yours too. You fire musket, but I'll run.
And it's like, you know, I gotta close out my series. Although, you know, like, you know, whenever I turn on the XM station for metal, like the real metal now,
it's
like too much for me, man. But Brian's listening. He'll notice in 2 seconds. But. And all these metal ones have the benefit of, like, I don't need to find the thing, I can just start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Metallica Seek and Destroy.
You see,
I could go to Master and Puppets, but then that's too much Metallica in one sitting. or at least for our show.
You've talked about yourself, and now I'm going to make the big confession that will sort of slay me in the eyes of half the audience, and I guess even some people who would also say, yes, I'm with Zef because I self-identify as a mod as well. As I've got older, I was seduced by the DJ, and I was seduced by the producer and the hip-hop artist, and I don't just necessarily mean rap, but I mean people like Malcolm McLaren, who suddenly found other ways to musically reach me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love the Beastie Boys. I always have, and especially their last couple of albums where they were doing things with real instruments and recorded stuff and all this type of thing. And so, therefore, that fuels my viewpoint for the guitar and the Guitar Hero. And at the same time, if the Guitar Hero is dying, then it is partly the fault of musical consumers like me who have become ambivalent about his or her importance.
Yeah, you're a bad person.
Yeah, I am to an extent. But yeah, I was seduced by people doing, again, I've often said to you, we did this when we talked about, first albums, and we both agreed that Sgt. Pepper was, great for different reasons. And yet Sgt. Pepper, it's not music at all. It is, but it's music made by sound, not by instruments.
Right.
And I've always been become one of those guys.
Yeah, I had a little ugly guitar, so I get some Neil Young where, I don't understand how, it sounds so sloppy all the time, but it sounds great. And actually, he would be considered a major progenitor to the grunge folks,
yes,
the way they play their guitar, which I don't know if I have any.
Do I have any Nirvana or Eddie, what's his name?
Eddie Vedder or Kurt Cobain? I don't think so.
And again, I've often made this statement on this show.
All my hits, but all my stuff.
I've made this statement on this show many times that I only listen to music. I don't go to live music because I always feel live music is not as good as what I've heard on the record, so to speak. And yet, in a strange way, guitar-driven rock. If I was a fan of guitar-driven rock, as I think you are more than I would go to much more, because that sound is replicated on stage.
Oh yeah, well, it's also,
and that's the big difference.
Sometimes I go to a concert, I think I'm just there for the very loud speakers.
Yeah.
We haven't had any women, so I had to put some on.
I currently have my hands above my head, holding an imaginary scarf between my right and left hand.
For those who don't know, obviously it's Joan Jett. This was a big deal when I was a younger person when this came out, because it's a woman singer singing "Do You Want to Touch Me" there. So,
but you know something? The critic in me says this is driven as much by a powerful drum beat.
All right,
that's my point here.
I think when it goes around, there's a nice bendy chord here. So then, I'm going to throw in a couple of.
But it is interesting, with the exception of Jack White, everyone we've played, they're all from the past.
No. See, this is why
I'm challenging now. That's what I'm saying. I've thrown it out there. I'm challenging you and setting you up to be a genius.
Now, mind you, some of these are. Well, this is older. Some of these things are not really very recent, but still like them. So, whoops.
No, it's still her.
I didn't press the right button.
You're done now, love. Way out the back.
I just, these are folks who are doing something different with their sound. This is Sonic Youth, which is not recent, but this is where you start feeling like, oh, look, this is more recent, but it's not.
It's this
one. But I would like some more chords.
Well, is this song? 20 years old? Is it older than that?
Yeah, because this actually, this was Bob Fight's grunge era stuff that came up there.
That's why I put 20 in there to try not to
hitting the levels here. I have no idea what these are going to sound like when we actually play it back, because it doesn't look very good on the computer. Smashing Pumpkins, Cherub Rock, for anybody
who's
interested.
Yeah, this is 20 years old.
Yeah.
2021, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jeez, it would be in the mid-90s.
Mid to late 90s, yeah.
I think this is slightly less old, but this is... here, you want to talk about actual... currently would be... Well, although now he's playing with old people, but here's one that'd be... Tom Morello, of Rage Against the Machine. So this is a relatively old song, but, you know, he's now playing with Bruce Springsteen on a routine basis and stuff, so I don't know what we would say qualify, but he would, for anybody who's into the guitars, I'm sure he qualifies. And he was one who, like, here's somebody who was revolutionary, because the sound was mixing basically a turntable sound, like almost a remixed scratching sound.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, if you want to go with, there's some, you know, these people are not going to get super duper famous, but there are folks who are trying to keep alive the great guitar work. So one of whom, who every now and then you turn around and somebody's promoting him as the greatest new thing. I got three songs of his on here, so let's see. Which is Gary Clark Jr. So I may have to fast forward a little bit.
Now you've, I think the year when I'd listened to new music, you that was one of the first albums you said, okay, you're buying this one and listening to this one.
Have a hard time picking these tracks. Let's see, I'm going to switch to something else, see if this is... Same guy. It's like baseball. Like, whereas baseball once upon a time would have been it's almost like a museum piece a little bit. I'm not going to deny loving it still, but
that's a great analogy that you just made there. And in terms of, it becomes self-fulfilling, doesn't it? You know, younger people tune out of it because it suddenly now feels like it's of a different era. And so therefore its own demise is accelerated by that, although I don't think there's no such thing as the demise of the electric guitar and all
that's about. What I say, like, it's not going to sell as many, and so they're going to be trouble with business,
but the electric guitar ultimately now sort of slides back into the pack and becomes one of seven different instruments. And at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you whose fault it is as well.
All right. This Derek Trucks from Tedeschi Trucks Band. He also played with the Almonds for a while. But Tedeschi Trucks is him and his wife. And it's a fantastic show. Like, if you like Almond blues, rock, and things like that, it's just superb. But they now, like, they're playing at the Warner Theater or something like that for, like, a five-night run kind of thing, and the tickets are expensive, and it's not a bar. It sounds like it should be in a bar, but it's much more that museum piece kind of feeling to it. I still like it, but I would much rather see it where I'm standing, and I can go dash over to the bar and get a drink and still be hearing the music and not, like, be sitting in theater seats and stuff, but, you know.
So.
guitar. We could do another episode on vocalists.
Yeah, I think we will do in a little while, yeah.
So anyway, that's Midnight in Harlem, and anybody who wants to hear that. And then, but then if we're getting back to, I thought I had one or two more that were like, hey, listen, if you want to listen to guitar.
This did you one, put any Mark Knopfler up there? I forgot I to did. Tell you that. Because again, he's one of those guys, a crossover guy. He's as much a classical guitarist as he is a electric guitar, even though that one riff is famous from MTV.
I don't even know who this person is. Maybe old for all I know. Sonny Smith. Wolf Howls from the Bathhouse. Wolf-like Howls from the Bathhouse. It could be something like, there's a number of songs that I have on playlist where I heard them on an HBO show.
Okay.
And I put on like Soundhound and I figured out what it was, and you put it on there and you go like, doesn't it sound like it's from True Detective?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
And this is one of my favorites, My Morning Jacket. And this is much more about the sound of the guitar. It's not about a bunch of big solos.
Again, all this great music we've played, though, kind of proves the point, doesn't it? Because it does feel older, it does feel more specialist, it does feel, and I get it, that modern rock music has always been a whole load of subsets and genres all crossing over and sometimes being in front of the spotlight and then being back off on their own again. I mean, look, yeah, there have been metal hits and there have been classic rock hits and there have been DJ-driven music hits. So that is the big church that is, you know, modern popular music. But I do feel, you know, for better or for worse, that kind of classical sense of the guitarist as the star. We've played all kinds of great stuff, and yet ultimately, because I take the position on this at the start, I'm going to sit here and go, yeah, it is where it is, because it does seem older and it does seem more of a throwback. And I know that's not a fair criticism, but that is sort of, I get how the modern, again, I get if you're 16, 17 years of age, well, if you're not listening to any of this, then what's driving you to pick up an electric guitar? So I understand why the industry claims that it is suffering a bit. You know, these people, as much they're running out with a computer going, what can I do with this and that and an electric turntable and that kind of thing? And they can make sounds that in their mind are, you know, rock and roll in the same way that stuff is. And yet, yeah, that's why I sort of feel like the electric guitar is just.
We never talked about why it is that the girls are picking up the guitar, by the way.
No, we didn't, because I didn't print the article.
Oh, it's Taylor Swift.
There you go. Well, then
she has a guitar in front of her. I don't know if she
cannot believe that Taylor Swift will get credit for saving her musical form. I'm going to blame Paul McCartney for it all myself.
All right,
I blame him because he kind of held his guitar too high up and everything, and he seemed kind of effete with it all.
I have one more clip I'm going to play, and I'm going to make it keep going a long way, but it's like my favorite intro. I only found it. It's an old thing. One of my actual still practicing musician buddies had said, it's like the greatest, it's not really a guitar solo, but it's a guitar-based intro to something.
Is this our last track we're going to play?
Our last track.
All right.
And we can talk over it because it's going to go on for a little while, but it's like a multi-part intro, and then it'll go into something that'll be much more familiar.
Yeah.
Some number of people probably recognize it already. I don't know if you do yet, but...
I sort of vaguely.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm still trying to get in a Rush reference just for you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Love Rush. You know, it's true, you know...
My favorite...
We didn't even get to talk about double neck guitars.
Yeah. Can I give you my all-time favorite sort of guitar lick song?
We never did my thing.
That's all right. I love... Get on your iTunes tomorrow and buy pictures of Matchstick Men by Status Quo.
I had it set up already for you.
You did? Oh, because I love that. We just went right past it. That's all right. I don't deserve it.
You can cut it in afterwards.
I've hammered the Guitar Hero, so I don't deserve to have mine played.
Well, this is a good example of something where it's really not just about the solo. It's about the way that it's got a lot of bass part in here. Yeah. All this other stuff going on. Really just wondering how this thing's going to come out sounding. Maybe horrible.
No. It doesn't look too bad because it's already been controlled back.
For those who don't know, we have like a little computer that's running, like showing our levels of talk, and it's like
I will explain, very densely filled right now. I will explain off air how it works.
It never sounds loud enough in our headsets. I know that.
So who is this?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, come on. Answers on a postcard.
No, we're gonna get to it as soon as it transitions.
Here we go.
That's why I keep talking about this stuff. What do we have coming up in future episodes?
Next episode, we're gonna do our summer movie roundup. We're staying on popular culture. I have the scores from this summer from our annual competition.
You're another one.
I actually don't know, but I've done the sheet and I will share the sheet with you next week. And then after that, of course, we're getting close to the holiday season. Our 2-part Christmas special, but we're not gonna tell you what's in it this year.
Action here, but what do we have any ideas for the holiday show? Or do we need to solicit ideas? I rode a scooter recently. We were talking about the scooters, and I rode a Lyft scooter. The Lyft scooters are now in DC.
You're gonna kill yourself, you know?
Yeah, possibly.
And I can't do this show on my own. I'm sorry, I just can't. It's hard work.
Very close now, I think.
And if you're wondering why we're getting away with playing music, it's because we've devoted music criticism as part of the show. You can play as much as you can, and I get into trouble.
I'm not entirely sure how that works, but yeah.
No. We're talking on top of it, too. And to be fair, we don't make a penny off this podcast, so really, who's going to sue us?
Problem is, you still
the minute
like,
we run a single ad, then someone can come after us. Yeah, but you're allowed to.
I think one of these days they're going to have like audio fingerprints, and they'll just come right after us.
Yeah.
We'll know if we get dropped from iTunes.
No. We've done this before. We've done music criticism before. Go back to 2013 and our 3-part National Recording Registry opus. I still don't know who this is.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, God. I'm going to let you play, but I'm going to get out of the show. This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast.
It's Lou Reed. The intro to Sweet Jane on Rock and Roll Animal. The guitar parts are not him. It's two other guys.
Yeah.
If I had done my research better, I would have the names at my fingertips, but I don't.
Well, he's dead. That's the trouble with all these. All the guitar heroes are dead.
They're not unhip, they're just dead. All right. Well, we're fading out now. I should put on your little thing there while we're going.
Yeah, put it, and then we'll get out on it, because I think this is always my favorite. This song was...
Nobody's listening anymore anyway. So.
And there's a little bit of trivia about this song as well. Is apparently there are two versions. There's the mono version, where the electric guitar does something really fancy, and then when they re-recorded it in stereo, they didn't do it. And apparently if you can get hold of the mono version, you can hear them.
That's
what this is. Also, this is one that does it. Takes me back somewhere.
Yeah. What year would this be?
God, I think it's my 60s, 68 or something. I think it was also redone by someone. I want to say Primus, but it's not Primus who did it. Someone else did a version of this song that's great.
All right.
Jane's Addiction, maybe. But this is the only version that counts.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Now, this is the Atlantic Voice. I'm Zef.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
Just enjoyed Eric and Zef on the Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at atlanticvoice.net. Email us at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.